Coach Glaze. You might not remember who this is. This is Richard Cox, the voice from the past. I just want to let you know that I really appreciate all the time that you spent with me. You don't know how much that meant to me, and you don't know how much that worked in the development of my life. And he went on and on and on. And I just said, oh, praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. He said, I wouldn't be where I was at today if it wasn't for you. I said, praise God. And last week, I came into church. It was a big envelope. I said, who is this from? And I opened it up, and it was from this guy. He is a motivational speaker that has written a book, and he has published the book, and he wanted to send me a copy of the book that he published.
Hello, and welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we begin a new series from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, titled The Bible and Spiritual Gifts. So please join us for our introduction to Romans 12 with the first half of The Bible and Spiritual Gifts.
Today we are going to start a new series. Last week we finished up the book of Philippians. This week we're going to start a series dealing with spiritual gifts. And I just want to say at the outset of this series that my goal is, and you'll be hearing a little bit more about this as we move ahead through this series, but my goal is that each and every person in the body here at Bethany would know what their spiritual gift is or spiritual gifts, and that we would be operating in the gift that God has given us. And so as I share the message, we're going to tell you what they are. We're going to tell you how they function. But we're also going to give everybody in the congregation the opportunity to take the spiritual gift inventory so that you can understand what your gift is. And then we have a record bank that we're going to store all the data so that all of our members will be in there, and also their gift will be in there too. So that's the goal that we have in going through this biblical series on spiritual gifts. And I just want to say that, you know, as you think about your spiritual gift and understand what is it that God has gifted me to do? What has God gifted me to do? And as we do those things that God has called us to do, there's great reward and there's great blessing in that. I wanted to share this testimony as I began the message today. Many of you know that I had the opportunity for about 5 years to coach college football. And I was a football coach at Liberty University. And one of the most frustrating things, I tell you, one of the joys of the job was, you know, coaching. One of the joys of the job was game day. But one of the most frustrating things that I had to deal with as a coach was the recruiting time. And as you went to recruit, trying to deal with 18-year-old young men that really don't know what they want to do. And we had this one individual who was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had visited his school, and he seemed to be interested in coming to Liberty, and we were looking. We really were in desperate need that year of defensive linemen, and we had to have a good recruiting class of defensive linemen. So I had found this guy, and I was on him. I was calling him every week, and, you know, I had gone down, visited him a couple times, had got to be real good friends with his mother, and she really wanted him to come to Liberty. But the problem was is that there was a couple other schools that was recruiting him also, and those recruiters were on him just as heavy as I was. And so it came to signing day, and on signing day it was between us and another school, and I was in Atlanta. I flew down to Atlanta. I think signing day was on Tuesday. I flew down to Atlanta Monday, and at 8 o'clock the next morning I was outside his door waiting for him, because we were going to sign him up. And my head coach, he said, you got to get this one. He said, you know, well, you know that we need defensive linemen this year, and you have got to get this kid. You know, he put the pressure on me. Now, you know, when you think about your job being dependent upon maybe an 18-year-old that really don't know what he wants to do, that's a scary feeling. And I was waiting out there. He never came out. What had happened, one of the coaches from the other school had showed up at 7:30, had picked him up, and had taken him to school. And they had this big thing at the school where they signed. And man, you know, one of the hardest things for me was to call back that day and tell my head coach. I said, Coach, we didn't get him. And it's just like, man, you know, I was looking for a word of encouragement. You know, that's all right, Bill. You know, we'll find somebody else. You know, that's all right. He just got quiet on the other end. And I knew he was upset, man. And I hated to even get on the plane and go back. Anyhow, you know, the kid, he ended up going to the other school. And he went down there the first year, and he didn't like it. And so he called me. And he said, you know, I really don't like it down there. Is there any opportunity for me to come to Liberty? And I said, well, you know, I can talk to, you know, the coach. And so I went and talked to the coach, and you know, we worked it out. He had to sit out for a year, but we worked it out for him to be able to come. This kid, man, he had all kind of problems. And, you know, I just spent a lot of time with him, you know, praying with him, just dealing with a lot of issues that he had, counseling him. And, you know, he seemed to be getting stronger and stronger, and you know, he was able to go on. And actually, I ended up leaving before he graduated, and so I never knew what happened to him. Well, you know, I got a call a couple of weeks ago, and voicemail said, Coach Glaze, you might not remember who this is. This is Richard Cox, the voice from the past. I just want to let you know that I really appreciate all the time that you spent with me. You don't know how much that meant to me, and you don't know how much that worked in the development of my life. And he went on and on and on. And I just said, oh, praise the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. He said, I wouldn't be where I was at today if it wasn't for you. I said, praise God. And last week, I came into church. It was a big envelope. I said, who is this from? And I opened it up, and it was from this guy. He is a motivational speaker that has written a book. And he has published the book, and he wanted to send me a copy of the book that he published. I said, wow, man, I said, praise God. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, what the reason I wanted to share that is to let you know that, you know, God calls us to use us to make a difference in the lives of people. You know, that, you know, at one point, and I think he knew it, man, he caused me one of the greatest heartaches in my life, frustration, heartache. But yet and still, you know, when and I could have been upset and said, well, no, we don't want to have anything to do with you, and we're not going to try to help you. But, you know, God just put it in my spirit. And now to see him where he's at today, man, that's a powerful testimony. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us in here today to realize that if we use what God has given us, that God will bless us beyond our imagination in ways that we could never even think of. As you think about what it is that God has called you to do, I think of the verse that's found in Ecclesiastes. I believe it's chapter 10 and verse 9. It says, whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and God has called you to do it, you do it with all your might. You do it unto the Lord, and God will bless what you do, and God will use your gifts. God has gifted you. And all I was doing, you know, God had gifted me to be able to understand the word, to teach the word, and to share the word with some of those young men. And even though I was a football coach, God had me there for another reason. God had me there to share the word of God with those individuals. God had me there to open up the scripture and to minister to them and to make a difference in the lives of an individual. And I'm just telling you to let you know that God has gifted you. And as we think about this series that I'm getting ready to get into on spiritual gifts, that when you understand what your purpose is, when you understand what your calling is, what it is that God has for you to do, and you do it, there is great reward in serving the Lord. And as I think of the passage that we're going to look at today, Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, and he starts out in verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so what he's telling us here is that if we will present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that if we will come and we will lay our all on the altar of sacrifice, if we will lay our life down for nothing in return, that God will take our life. I like the song that says something beautiful, something good, All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. That when I laid my life on the altar, when I laid it out before the Lord, and I said, Lord, take my life and let it be holy, Lord, unto thee. Take my hands and let them move according to your will. Take my mind, use it. When I laid my all on the altar, God was able to snatch it up and use it for his honor and glory. And I'm telling you today, my brothers and sisters, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Charles Stanley said the problem with a living sacrifice is that a living sacrifice wants to get back up off the altar. But when we are a sacrifice, that we die at the altar to Christ, and then we come away, and we die at the altar to self, and we come away and we live for Christ. Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And as he gave us that challenge, and as he told us what to do. And you know what? I've never coupled this together, but isn't it strange that after this appeal, a verse that many of us have memorized, a verse that many of us can quote in our sleep, that after this appeal in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that he launches a discourse about spiritual gifts. To say that when you lay your life on the altar, then God will gift you and use you in his kingdom. He goes on to say in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say unto you, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we are members, many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with liberality, and he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so he gives us these verses on spiritual gifts. Now, there were two handouts that were passed out before you today. One of them was an overview of spiritual gifts, an overview of spiritual gifts. And as we look at the overview of spiritual gifts, what I've tried to do is list all the gifts. And I just want to say today, saints, that I'm going to probably do more teaching than preaching today. But there's some good preaching down the road, all right? There's some real good preaching down the road. So I'll probably be doing more teaching today than preaching. But as we look at the overview of spiritual gifts, there are three main passages in the Bible that speak of spiritual gifts. This passage that we have here, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 31, and Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Anytime you talk about spiritual gifts, these are the three main passages that deal with spiritual gifts. Now, if you'll notice here, I've broken the spiritual gifts into three categories. All right, the first category is what we call performing gifts, or some will call them serving gifts. These are gifts that God uses for us to serve in the body. Now, in saying this, what I want to say is that most of this series will focus on the performing or the serving gifts. Now, we do have what I call perceiving or preparing gifts, and we do have power gifts. All right, as we think about the perceiving and preparing gifts, well, what are they? Wisdom, knowledge, faith, and discernment. Those are the four gifts that we talk about as far as perceiving. That perceiving meaning that it takes you to another level of awareness. For instance, and I do have this, I have a description. I spent all day yesterday typing this up, and I just didn't want to put too many notes out this morning. But I do have a description of all the gifts listed on this page right here and what they mean. And as I think about wisdom, you know, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the supernatural ability that a person has to be able to understand a situation and be able to apply God's mind and God's word to it. So if I'm blessed with the gift of wisdom, then I can sit back and I can look at a situation and I can assess that situation, and in wisdom, I can make the right decision. That's the gift of wisdom. There are people, some people in the body that have that gift. I mean, they are just wise, just like that. There's also the gift of knowledge. And this is, you know, we've heard people say, I got a word of knowledge. Well, what does that mean, a word of knowledge? Now, a word of knowledge means different things in different circles. But basically what a word of knowledge is mean first and foremost that you got some insight into the word of God, okay? A word of knowledge is kind of shaky if it comes apart from the word of God, all right? So if you get a word of knowledge, it has to align with the word of God. And so sometimes, you know, that's why I have a problem. Now, I know here I go. There you go, Pastor Glaze, getting in trouble again. I have a problem sometimes when somebody's sitting on their TV and say that God gave me a word of knowledge about such and such a thing out in the TV audience. Now, you know, first of all, let me say this. That most of, if you're on TV, the chances are that you got a pretty big listening audience, all right? You probably got tens of thousands of people. And I'm sure that out of those tens of thousands of people that somebody's going to be dealing with what you, it's just like I got a word of knowledge today that somebody in here needs a financial blessing. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm just going to ask you to see Brother Van. He can help you out. I mean, so, you know, I have a problem sometimes when we talk about, you know, word of knowledge in that regard. But when we talk about a word of knowledge, what we're saying is that it's based in the word of God. And God gives a revelation or illumination on the word of God. And you're able to get a word from the scripture and you're able to give it to someone else and share with them specific answer for the need that they might have. The word of faith. Some people have faith. You know, there are some people that just have an incredible capacity to trust God. There are some people that just, I mean, it's unbelievable the faith that they have to just see things come and to pray things in and to just be patient and see God. You know, I was talking to some people earlier and, you know, going through some situations. And sometimes God puts us in situations. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes God puts us in situations so that we can trust him. So that we can trust him. And you know, it's something to have that faith that God would trust you enough to put you in a situation where you can't do anything else but trust him. And there are some people that just have the extraordinary ability. Now, all of God's people should have faith. All of God's people should have faith. But there are some people that rise like cream. They rise above the rest. And they're just able to reach out and hold on to the promises of God and trust in the Lord and claim his promises. And as the song said, standing on the promises of God. And they have that supernatural ability just to be able to stand on God's promises. And then there are people who have discernment. And that's the divine ability to be able to understand between truth and error, between right and wrong, that you're able to sit there and you're able to discern spirits, okay? That's why it's good to have someone close to you that has the gift of discernment, because they can tell, you know, if somebody's in your life that don't need to be there, they can tell that person shouldn't be there, because God has blessed them and give them that gift of discernment. They're able to tell, you know, God has just given them that spiritual sensitivity to be able to tell when another person is genuine and when another person is fake. You know, they're able, if I can take you back to the old school, they're able to let you know who the Eddie Haskells of your life are, right? Y'all know who Eddie Haskell was. You know, Eddie Haskell, some of y'all younger might not remember, Leave It to Beaver. Yes, Mr. Cleaver. Yes, Mrs. Cleaver. You know, he just all smiles and all polite and everything to their face. But when he got away from them, You know, he was the biggest scam artist on TV. So, God gives you that ability to be able to recognize who the Eddie Haskells of life are. All right. And those are what's called the perception gifts or the perceiving gifts, what I would call them anyways. And then there's the power gifts. And what are the power gifts? In healing, you know, some people have, and here again. You know, I believe, and I stand here today to testify that God has all power in his hand to be able to heal. And that God at any point in time can heal. There's no question in my mind that God is in the healing business today. That we are hearing prayer requests go up about people who are dealing with situations and God is working in their life and God is healing them. And sometimes God may even touch a person. God may even touch a man or a woman to go forth and heal somebody. I have no question about that. You know, my concern is that when we want to put up a tent and then have everybody come and have these big healing services. See, that's when I think that you kind of get off. And so you take this powerful gift that God has given and you kind of get off because now you got the masses coming. And then, you know, all you got to do is go back and do some reading on some of these situations. And you find, first of all, that just go back and I got information. If you want information, I can share it with you where you can go back and you can research and you find that a lot of people, they even scream before they even get up front. Before they even get up on the stage, they're already screened and they know who's coming up there and they know who's not. Secondly, they followed up on many of the individuals that have so-called got healed at a lot of these big events, and a couple weeks later, they were back in the same situation that they were in before. So my question is not with God, because if God heals you, you're healed. If God heals you, you're healed. But now you got to be careful with these so-called men that say that they, you know, are going about doing all this healing. All right, so once again, don't get me wrong. I stand here today, and I have all confidence in God that he's able to heal. I have all confidence that God can touch an individual to heal, to use an individual to heal others. There's no question about that. But I just get a little leery and a little concerned about some of the things that we see today. So miracles that, you know, there are miracles that people can do. And if God wants to touch somebody to do a miracle, he can do it. He can do that. I tell you what, you know, the greatest miracle that ever happened in my life is when I got saved. That was a miracle in itself right there. Because I know there was a lot of folk that was praying for me. As a matter of fact, I got on fire and got saved. And somebody said, man, we was praying that you would get religion, but we weren't praying that you get that much. you know, so I know that it was a miracle when I got saved. Tongues. Oh, here we go. You know, I'm not even going to touch this today. Yeah, I'm not even going to touch this, all right? But, you know, tongues, according to the scripture, is a gift that God has given to the body, all right? So I'm just going to leave it at that. Maybe at some point in time, as a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if Jeff still has it, but I did a whole series on tongues one time, all right? So you might want to get that series if you want to find out more about that. Interpretation of tongues. That there are interpretation of tongues, so that goes along with the tongues. And then there's a gift of what many people believe apostleship or apostles. Now, let me say this. Pastor Glaze, why do you keep on doing this? Let me say this. I do believe in the gift of apostleship. I believe in the gift of apostleship. But if you look at the scripture, there are no apostles the same way that there were during the time of Christ and right after. You know, because there was only, you know, in order for you to be apostle, let's go back. There's a couple things. You ought to know this now. You've been at Bethany long enough that you ought to know this. In order for a person to be apostle.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Bible and spiritual gifts. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, the Bible and spiritual gifts, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request the Bible and spiritual gifts or program number 080224. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request the Bible and spiritual gifts or program number 080224. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.